Tonight's reading will be from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 38 through 41. When Elisha returned to Gilgal, there was a famine in the land. And as the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, he said to his servant, "Put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets." Then one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it his lap full of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, for they did not know what they were. So they poured it out for the men to eat, and as they were eating of the stew, they cried out and said, "O men of God, there is death in the pot," and they were unable to eat. But he said, "Now bring meal," and he threw it into the pot and said, "Pour it out for the people that they may eat. Then there is no harm in the pot."
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine sitting around being told that there is death in the pot? Would you have eaten it? That's the interesting thing to me. When you read this story, they ate it. Was there an antidote put in it? No, there was some meal, flour that was put into it. And they ate it. Would you have eaten it? Just because the Son of Man put some flour into this? It's an interesting story in 2 Kings, the fourth chapter. It's interesting for obviously various reasons when you think about the practical lessons of just kind of going up to something and saying, "I don't know what this is. It looks like a nice gourd of some sort. And we'll just pop it in there and we'll see what happens." And the description is there's death in the pot. It's amazing how often we can get caught up in this ourselves if we're not careful. Understanding that what we're talking about for us is that ignorance, as much as we would like to say is bliss, actually comes with consequences. I want you to notice what it says about this man in verse 39. "For they did not know what they were," is the description. Why would you pick up something and put it in the pot? Have you ever seen somebody eat something that was so gross and you see the reaction? My mom, when she eats sushi, hilarious. My son, on certain things, he starts gagging. It's amazing what people do. But can you imagine tasting something and thinking, "This is death. There's death in this pot." Just because somebody picked up something that they shouldn't have picked up. Ignorance has consequences. And tonight I want to talk a little bit about this. Understanding the ignorance can come with consequences, even when you have the best of intentions. These gourds may have looked beautiful. They may have been pumpkin-like. They may have been nice. But they were poisonous. And they were going to cause problems. 1 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, you have they're in Corinth. They were dealing with these types of things. But instead of taking what they needed to do, they became arrogant in the things that were going on. You turn over there with me in 1 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. Jake, you turn this mic off. 1 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. The Apostle Paul here is talking. And in verse 6, he says, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other." You go beyond what is written. Everything that he put in that pot was good in 2 Kings. Except for one thing. And that one thing made the whole thing bad. This certainly can happen very quickly to God's people. Chapter 15 and verse 33 talks about, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Why does it say do not be deceived? The same reason why it talks about, as Tyler talked about this morning, about why it says don't be afraid. Because you're afraid. Because you're going to deceive yourself, thinking that I can handle this. And the reality is we can't. Bad company will corrupt good morals. Over in Matthew, the 15th chapter, Jesus is talking. He's talking to the Pharisees, and they had taken tradition and made them so much greater than what they should have been, and they stopped following and doing what God wanted them to do. Verse 3 says, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandments of God for the sake of your traditions? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or mother.' And by this, you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition." And he goes on, talks about this. They honor me in verse 7 and verse 8 and 9. They honor me with their lips. So quickly can we fall into this situation if we're not careful. You can be worshiping God correctly throughout everything, and you bring one thing in, and all of a sudden it's not. I appreciate this morning that Mike brought up Malachi, the book of Malachi. At least 10 different times, he'll talk about, "But you say," "I said," "God said this," "but you say something different." What do you think God's point is? If I said it, if God says it, it doesn't matter what you say or what you think should be different. There's a misunderstanding so often that you can be doing some of the things that are correct, and therefore I'm correct, and that is not true. When we're talking about God, in the Old Testament, we talk about the kings and how the kings, many of them, it talks about that their hearts were with God, but they did not destroy the idols in the high places. Why? Well, then they weren't totally with God. There was an issue that was going on. They didn't do all that they could. And the same thing can be said of us. There is religious poison that absolutely occurs. In Romans, the first chapter, in verse 24 through 25, they exchange the truth for a lie. He says, "Therefore God gave them over to the lust of their hearts and to impurity, that the bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." They worship the creature rather than the Creator. For us, we can call it humanism. We like to worship the creature, but the creature is us. Self, many times. Or humans, many times. Rather than at this time, they probably were getting caught up in idols. But we can get so caught up in what I want to be doing. And it's such a danger. There's so much religious poison that we need to be careful of. When you think about various things, and I'm just going to put a couple of these up here, four of them up here. When you change God's word, you have to hear, repent, confess, and you're saved. It's not what the Bible teaches. You can do all the other steps. That's not what the Bible teaches. For us, we have to be careful when we are baptized. Are we actually being baptized, or is somebody just getting wet? Are they actually getting baptized? Is we understanding that it's not just something you simply go through, that there's actually meaning to what is going on? You don't have to be baptized. Once you've obeyed, you can never fall from grace. Perhaps those are things that you've talked or you've heard people talk about. I've heard these last two, or seen these last two in action. The Bible doesn't say not to. The great silence of the Scriptures. The Scriptures don't contain every single situation, every single thing, and therefore we feel like we can add to it when it comes to certain things, and that's not the case. The Scriptures, there's importance when it comes to certain subjects and certain things, and understanding authority of God's word, and the importance of understanding authority. I've heard recently people talking and misunderstanding what this authority is. There are people who think that you can just bring anything into a congregation, anything into a religious service, and just call them aides, and they're okay, and they're not. There's not such a thing as unauthorized aides. They're either authorized aides, or they're wrong. Or they're wrong. It's a misunderstanding of what authority is, what God's word teaches, and the importance of his word, and whether or not we are going to follow it. Either it's something that we are allowed to use, or it's not. It's not based on what I think it should be, or what you think it should be. It's what on God's word, and what the importance of God's word. We have spent a lot of time over the last couple of years, few years, talking about God and our relationship with God. And it's great for us to get closer to God. We need to get closer to God. He is our Father. But we can never forget the one who has all authority. He has all authority. So we can draw near to him. We can walk in a worthy manner of him. But we need to understand who he is. We need to understand what happens when we just start bringing in a little bit of poison, a little bit of problems into the congregation. It can come into the church. You obviously, in 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 1 through 3, will talk about the hypocrites and whether or not we are truly devoting ourselves to God's word. This certainly is something that we need to be mindful of. Now, let me make it clear about this. I'm not talking about people say that I don't go to that church because there's hypocrites there. That's nonsense. You go to church, you go to a worship service because God's here, and we're going to worship God. There's going to be people in the building that are obviously sinners. We're all sinners. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there's people that are going to do things that, in that sense, people will try to use an excuse and say, well, they're hypocrites, so I'm not going to go there. That's like saying, as the old example is, I'm not going to go to the hospital because there's sick people there. Yeah, that's where they're supposed to go. 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 1, he says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And we all have tasted the kindness of the Lord. But he tells us, you got to put aside hypocrisy. You got to put aside envy, slander, and make sure that you are longing for the pure milk of the word. Do we long for that milk of the word? Do we long to grow in respect to salvation? Is that our goal? You think about in Titus, the third chapter, where he talks about worthless disputes. Over in Titus, the third chapter, more and more, and I think it's because of social media, you see this happening. There are worthless disputes, there are worthless conversations, whatever you like to call them, that go on. And it's so easy for us to get caught up in them. He talks about here the things that we need to be very mindful of. He says in verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing and regeneration of renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I'm going to stop there for just a minute. When you think about these words, verse 3 is so important for us to understand. In Ephesians, the second chapter, he'll do this too. You need to remember that you once were foolish. You once were disobedient. That's what you used to be. And so when you're talking or looking at other people, you need to be very, very careful. Because it was the kindness of God, his mercy, his love, his grace that you just talked about. That's why you're saved. And it's an opportunity for us to teach other people, as Tyler talked about this morning. But what happens is that we forget what we used to be. And then you pick up in verse 8. This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man after first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and sinning and being self-condemned. How often do you think the words unprofitable and worthless are used when we're talking about something that we spend time talking about? Unprofitable, unworthless. He'll talk about to Timothy the same thing. Don't get caught up in nonsense. Don't get caught up in worthless disputes. And this happens all the time. There will be people, when I first came to West Mason, there were two families that would not talk to each other. They sat on different sides of the room, and you could feel the tension in the room. It was ridiculous. And it was handled. Eventually it was handled. But you just think about that. What was the issue? I told this before, he brought in a mailbox and said that the other brother knocked over his mailbox. And I said, do you think this is CSI West Mason? What are you going to do with that? But that's what they were arguing about. There are things that make no sense. This is what you're trying to do. And it becomes issues, and people argue about the color of the carpet and all sorts of things. And it's nonsense. And it causes disputes, and it causes issues, and it's nothing but a poison or a cancer to a church. 2 Timothy, Paul will liken it to gangrene as an example. It needs to be taken out. When you think about being indifferent towards things, it's one thing. You're not going to get caught up in the various things. I'm just going to keep my head down. I'm just going to go through all the different situations that are going on. I'm going to worship. I'm not going to worry about it. But see, the problem is when you become a family and you're part of the family, you become part of the family. And there's intentional things that you need to do. One of my fears so often, especially during the pandemic, is that people think other people should do the teaching in classes when we're able to have the classes again. I've retired. My children are too old. What does that mean? We all have the opportunity to teach. That doesn't mean everybody should be in the back classroom leading the class. There's other things that you're able to do. But these children are at an age and they need to be told about God. What better person to do it than you? Than us? Make the most of the talent that you have. Titus will go on and he'll talk about older women, teach the younger women. How many of you have done that? How many of you think you're older? That's, I guess, the first place to start. Older men, teach the younger men. It's making the most of those opportunities that before us. Hebrews, the 5th chapter, in verse 12 through 14, he talks about that some ought to be teachers by now. You ought to be teaching. You ought to be making sure that you're growing, but instead, verse 12, I'll just read it. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Practice. It's all about the things that we do. Or are we caught up being just disinterested? Or caught up in indifference? I went to services on Sunday. Check. Is that our attitude towards it? Or do we understand that we are here to worship the Almighty God? And the opportunity that is before us. Just a little poison. Obviously, one of the big ones is worldliness. There's no question that there's a danger when it comes to worldliness. People that will sit in church buildings, but their minds are on other things. Or their focus is on other things. Or their idol is anything else. And the danger that comes with that. 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verse 15 through 17, talks about that. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Do not get caught up in the things of the world. Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by actual practice, by intentional living, that you're only going to put into the pot what you know is not poisonous. And understanding what truly edifies the group and what truly brings God the glory. When you go back to 2 Kings, it is interesting that they were willing to go and to actually partake of this stew. If you turn back over there in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, it is amazing to me that they cry out, "O man of God, there is death in the pot," and they were unable to eat it. Elisha comes along, as was read, and he says, "Throw in some flour, throw in some meal." They pour it out for everybody that they may eat. Then there was no harm in the pot. Can you imagine that? We always talk about Peter getting out of the boat and he walks on the water. Who was the first one to try this and didn't die? Because that would not have been me. I would have followed Matt if he would have had it. Why would you be the first one? But here's the problem. They had seen Elisha and knew God was with him. They had seen it time and time and time again. And they knew and had trust and confidence that what he said was absolutely correct. We talked about this last week, but it's the same type of thing for us. We have seen God work in our lives time and time and time again. And we know God's way is the right way, is the correct way, is the only way. And yet so often we want to come along and put a little poison in the stew. We want to change things up just a little bit. I'm not talking about traditional things. Though you can take, as we read in Matthew the 15th chapter, you take tradition and make them doctrinal. But it's understanding the purpose as to why we are here. We are here to worship the Almighty God. And we need to make sure that that's exactly what we are doing. There's a story that follows this. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. But he brought to the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. And he said, "Give them to the people and they may eat." His attendant said, "What will I set this before 100 men?" And he said, "Give them to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over." So he set it before them and they ate and had some left over according to the word of the Lord. Does that sound familiar? It's exactly what Jesus does. And you have the same kind of thing that happens here. But you see what the thing that brings both of those stories together, whether talking about Jesus and the 5,000 and the 4,000, or here? God. God's power. God's power in what he is able to do. The question for you and I is whether or not we truly believe with God all things are possible. Whether or not we truly believe that. And I'm not talking about off-the-wall things, what we're talking of. I'm talking about if we live for him, that he's going to take care of us, as Tyler talked about this morning. He's going to take care of us. He's going to be with us. We may go through difficulties, we will, but he's going to be with us. And I'm going to trust him, just like the Apostle Paul did in Acts the 18th chapter, as he talked about. I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to keep teaching, because God said he's with me. It's the same for you, and it's the same for me. Are we willing to live for God, God's way? To do things God's way? Now, I'm not suggesting that we don't test things or check things or to see if there's other things that we're able to do and have studies and do all those different things that we need to be doing. Next year, Lord willing, we're going to study authority in class. So there's an importance of it. There's an understanding of need more than perhaps we even understand. It's something that we always need to be thinking about, his authority. When you think about it, though, it ultimately comes down to this question. Are we living for him? Or are we trying to fit him into my life, what I want to do? What a danger that is. You think about this young man that went around and he picked up and gathered herbs and wild vine and gathered all these different things and he just saw some wild gourd and he picked them up. Was his intention good? Yeah. Yeah. Did he almost kill everybody? Yes. It's not about intention. As it said, therefore, they did not know what they were eating. God's people are going to be destroyed for a lack of knowledge, the scriptures will say. What does that mean for us? As his priests, you better know it. You better study. You better be diligent to understand his word, to make sure that all we are doing, all you are doing, is right with God, and nothing is poison causing us issues. If you have not obeyed the gospel, now's the time. This isn't about just simply going through the motions. This is about actually having a relationship with the Almighty God. And yes, he is going to be your father. Yes, you can have this amazing and awesome relationship with him. And yes, we need to talk about that. But never forget, he is the God of all. And he is the God of all authority. And we are going to worship him his way. And we're going to live if we're going to live in a holy life, we're going to live like his son. If you need to obey the gospel, now's the time. As always, make sure that you're praying for one another. If you have questions, ask them. I know people have questions about this. It's the reason why I preach this sermon. So I know there's questions. Let us help you. If there's anything that we can do for you right now, though, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.